not ourself, but we're allowing the devil to take control of our thoughts, and even if we'll let it go far enough, our actions today. You see, as you open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, I firmly believe with all my heart there are thoughts, and not all thoughts are sin until we put our thoughts into action. Then that's sin. And today, in spite of this beautiful singing, we're going to bring you a message today that God has laid on our hearts, and I believe that it's appropriate for the day and time in which we're living in, because you don't hear much about God's chastening. But God is not going to forever wink at our sin. God is not forever just going to let it go by and forget about it. How many of us growing up, when mom and dad say, "You're going to get it when you get home," we prayed that they'd forget by the time we got to the house. But they did not forget. God is the same way. Book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, starting at verse 1, reading down through and including verse 8. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against him, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. For ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons." That's some hard reading. Amen. The chastening of the Lord. The chastening of the Lord is our text today. And as I said just a few moments ago, God is not always going to let sin abound by his children with there not being a payment that is due. In the first part of this chapter, we're encouraged to run our race with patience, the race that is set before us, because we have a cloud of witness with us today. And we ought to lay aside every weight that doth so easily beset us, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, to lay it aside and say, "Lord, I need your help to run with patience, because my race is not over yet." Sometimes we feel like we're in a sprint. Sometimes we feel like that we're just barely walking when it comes to our Christian life. Sometimes we feel like that we're doing what God would have us to do to the best of our abilities. And other times we feel like utter failures. Just we failed so much. But he said that we ought to look unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, and afterwards he sat down at the right hand of God. In verse 4, he says that we are not to shed blood for sin that we strive against. And I know that that's hard. How many of you, when you see sin, you just get so mad that sometimes you just want to take action? But yet, Paul told them in Hebrews, don't take action to cause blood to be shed. Because you see, it's not in our hands, it's in God's hands. And I've said this several times over the years, there are some things in life that's worse than death. And God knows exactly how to bring us down to our knees. He knows exactly how to do it. And as we said Wednesday night in the message, this type of preaching is not favorable. It's not one that is wants to be heard. And it is one that, if time goes on, will be punishable for men to stand and preach against sin. But the Bible tells us that we ought to stand against sin. Not just the preachers, but all of us. Amen? He said in verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. How many of you have ever been whipped by the Lord? And we remember those whippings. Growing up, I can remember maybe three or four whippings my dad gave to us. He ought have given us more. Anybody else say amen to your life? Not to mine, to your life, that you ought to got more whippings. If they knew everything you did or thought, you probably would have. But see, mom and dad don't know everything about you. But God does. God does. The Lord will not wink at sin and say it's okay. And how many of us as parents let our kids get by with something that we shouldn't have? And we thought that it'd be all right. But you know what the Bible says? If God says it's sin, there's going to be a chastening that's going to come from it. But here today, I want us to look at why God chastens us and when God chastens us. God chastens us because we are His children and because He loves us. I often heard my parents and others say, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. And I thought, my goodness, it's no way it could hurt you more than it's hurting my behind. But you know, as a parent, when I became a parent, I realized what they meant. Because there had to be a punishment, but yet we did not like having to take a belt or a switch to our child. And some of you looking at me this morning say, you mean you grew up being whipped with a belt or a switch? The Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. And here he says, if God doesn't chasten us, then we are not his child. We're not his child today. But as it says in the book of Job in the 33rd chapter, when men refuse to hear God, there's going to come some chastening. And we're living in a time that I believe God has spoken, and people are refusing to hear God. They are living their life as if they are accountable to no one but themselves. And I'm not throwing stones this morning at anybody, but many of our folks today, your family and mine, refuse to do and to hear what God is saying to them. They know to do better. They know to live right, but yet they're nowhere to be found in the house of God. And when people refuse to hear God, that's what they said was wrong with Job. They said, Job, your problem, his friends, you remember? Your problem is you have not obeyed God. You have refused to hear him. And Job said, that I am not guilty of. And I want to put this in for good measure. Everyone that is sick, everyone that is hurting physically, it's not because of sin. Amen. I've heard preachers preach, Brother Emerson, that said, if you get sick, it's because you've got sin in your life. If you've got problems in life, it's because you got sin in your life, and that is your payment for your sin. I don't know how God is going to get payment for our sin, but I do believe this. We will pay on this side before we cross over. I've heard them say that when we get to heaven, that there's a place that you will go until you paid for all your sins. And then you'll be graduated from the first heaven into the second heaven or up to the third heaven. Let me preach to you this morning. There's only one heaven. One Lord, one God, one faith, and one baptism. And if we are a child of God, we're all going to the same heaven. But many of us are going with stripes because of the chastening of the Lord. The Bible says in 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter and the 14th verse, God chastens us when people commit iniquity. When we commit iniquity, there's going to be some chastening that's going to take place. I don't want today, and I'm not getting political, it doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat or independent, but America is going to have to pay for the iniquity that she has in her life, or else God is not God. If he does not bring, and this hurts me this morning, but if God does not bring chastening to America, he's going to have to go back and apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. He's going to have to apologize to every nation that was destroyed because of sin in their lives. Folks, just because we're Americans doesn't gain us favor with God. Some of you don't want to say amen this morning, but we are no different than the countries that are filled with sin today and have forsaken God. And people think, well, we'll get by, we'll be okay. And that's what's being preached from so many pulpits across the land. If that is true, then some of us, God is going to hold to one measure, and he's going to hold the others to another measure. How many of us today, we hold all of our children to the same measure, and God is going to hold all of us to the same measure? And when there's iniquity in the house, there's going to be some chastening that takes place. You say, why would God whip his children? Because God gave us some rules to live by. Can I preach this morning? That many people think that it's terrible that God has given us some rules that we have to live by. And they think it's too hard. I say this, it is not hard to try to please God. It is easy to try to please God when you follow your heart and stay away from those that are perverse and those that have forsaken God. How many of you work or live or shop with people that you know are wicked and have got iniquity in their life? You can see it all over the place. Sin is raging everywhere. And the church, instead of being a light to the sinners have become a light to the church. Instead of us looking more like God, we are beginning to look more like the devil and act like him. What used to be just heard in the workplace is now heard on the radio and over the television set. How many of you all remember old-time preachers preaching against that one-eyed monster? We thought they was just old-fashioned and that they was just lost their marbles, so to speak. But we're seeing it come to fruition, that we see what started out as a good thought has now developed into things that children even ought not see. Just like the internet. And I've said this many times in years past. Moms and dads, you better watch what your children are looking at. Because all it takes is for them to do one click wrong, and the devil will have their attention. You need to be careful. And not just children, even adults today need to be careful. Psalms 89 and verse 30, David said it like this: God chastens when people forsake God. Our churches used to be full. We used to have people worshiping in the parking lots and people shouting in the pews of the house of God. But now our people have forsaken God. COVID has not helped. You know what COVID has done to a lot of people? It's given them a reason not to go to church. Oh. And for those that are well enough to go and aren't, I believe there's chastening that's coming. Because the Bible says if you know to do right and you do it not, you've committed sin. And you say, you mean not to go to church is sin? I believe it is. Because the scripture says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together with our brothers and our sisters. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11 chapter in the 32nd verse, I didn't expect any shouting on Sunday morning with this message, but it's true. It says that when men refuse to judge themselves, there'll be chastening coming. He said, I thought God was the judge. God is the final judge. But we have to judge ourselves and say, would that be acceptable? Would that be right? How many of you have ever been faced with a decision that you had to really judge for yourself? Is it right or is it wrong? And I'll give you examples today. Some people say that there's nothing wrong with social drinking. I think we have to judge that for ourselves based upon what we know about the Word of God. Don't be drunk. Don't stay away from strong drink. Wine, stay away from it because it's a mocker. People say, Roger, that's too old-fashioned. That's why we don't see the crowds that you aforementioned. But let me tell you again, everyone that forsakes the law of God is going to be chastened. I would rather have people poke fun at me than I had to disobey God and have to be chastened by God. Because you know what God will do? God will take the very apple of your eye. Jim, we don't hear preaching like this no more. But it's still the Word of God. You sin, you're going to pay for it. You're going to pay for it. And the payment may be more than you're willing to pay. It's worse. Ask David if it was worth him having Uriah killed and committing adultery with Bathsheba. Ask him if it was worth it. That little child died at birth. His daughter was raped by her brother. His children were killed. And he could not do the building of the temple because he had blood on his hands. People say, but he had a heart after God. You see, I believe he did, but David was just like us. And when David sinned, God had to get his attention. And when God got his attention, it turned David's heart back to God. We've all gone astray like sheep, the Bible says. Every one of us is guilty of sin. And yet, if we're truly the child of God, we've been chastened for it. We've been chastened for it. You ever wonder why you don't have many friends? You ever wonder why? I'll tell you why. Because our lifestyle and theirs is totally different. And I'd rather have a friend that believes in God and His Word then I had to have a neighborhood full of people that curse against God, speak against God, and do all manner of sin in front of my children and my loved ones. It's not worth it today. As I sang that song last Sunday, Brother Lloyd requested, there are times that we have to walk alone, but yet even when we're walking alone, we're not by ourselves because we've got God walking with us. See, sin brings pleasure for a season, but the end of it is death. The end of it is destruction. People say, I see a lot of people sinning, and it seems like they never have to pay for it. You don't know what happens when the lights go out. You don't know, and I'm trying not to be too long-winded this morning. You don't know how many marriages have failed because of sin. You don't know how many children are astray because of sin. You don't know how many loved ones won't go to church anymore because of sin. There's a lot of things we don't know. And you say, Roger, are you blaming us for it? I believe that sin causes a lot of things. And if we do not stay away from it and judge ourselves, Paul said it like this, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. You say, what does that mean, Roger? Paul said, if I could paraphrase it this morning, there's a lot of things in this world that you could do, but you have to judge yourself and stay away from them. Amen? There's and sometimes God gives us a helpmeet to help in the judging. Amen? I'll explain real briefly. There have been some places that I have been, and this is not comical, but Becky or some other godly Christian woman would be looking out for me. Sister Connie, many years ago, I'll never forget it. Let me first preface it with this. How many of you know not everybody that attends church is a saint? Don't the Bible speak about some of them being wolves in sheep clothing? And there was a lady that had a reputation, and I believe that explains it well. And she came around to shake hands, and she wanted to hug me, and Sister Connie jumped in between me and her. Because you see, your reputation precedes you. You say, even in the house of God, there's those kind of people. I hear men of old saying that they would go to the house of God to try to find women. That's where they picked them up at. God forbid. Have you not heard that as well? Some of you look at me like I've lost it, but that's okay. And there's times when Becky, when a woman with a reputation or Becky thought she was getting too close, she would jump in and say, I'm his wife. See, and I've told Becky, there was a situation where she was going to ride with a couple guys, and I said, there ain't no way she's getting in a car with them. I think sometimes we have to protect the image that we have. Amen? If you run with the devil, you'll start smelling like the devil. You'll start acting like the devil and looking like him, talking like him. You say, but Jesus went home with sinners. Yes, he did, but he didn't stay there. He gave them the word, and if they received it, they was praised. But if not, he told the apostles, he said, when you go in, preach the word. If they won't receive it, when you go out, shake the dust off of your feet. The Bible says in Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter, in the 2nd verse, God chastens people when they stubbornly rebel. Stubbornly rebel. I believe that we see that more and more every day. that people stubbornly, I can make a decision for myself. If I don't feel it's wrong, then it must not be wrong. I said on Wednesday night, and these kind of messages won't be going out on the airways very much longer. But I said on Wednesday night that we're living in a time where sin is being pushed down our throats and people are stubbornly rebelling against God and says, they're almost like they're challenging God. If this is wrong, then strike me with lightning. And I believe God may not strike them with lightning, but God is going to bring them to their knees. And hear me out, church, if we don't get America back to God, America is going to be chastened by God like we have never seen before. We already, in these past election, put homosexuals and lesbians into the Congress and the Senate. Transvestites, LGBTQ, whatever it is today, they just keep adding more and more onto it. You know what the next letter is on that? And this is not prophecy. I believe this with all my word, with all my heart. The next letter will be P. You say, what does that stand for? Pedophiles. They're daring God. And I believe God's anger will only boil for so long. And then God is going to say, recompense is mine, saith the Lord. You're about to reap what you've sowed. And you know what scares me? Is that when God's fury went through the land before, there was innocent souls that died because they was in the household that was stricken with sin. And folks, let me tell you today, children that grow up in sin think there is nothing wrong with it. And they are victim to sin because of mom and dad. In fact, I ought to strike that and say they are victim to sin because of mom or dad. Because most of them don't live with mom and dad. Oh, y'all ain't going to shout on Sunday morning when they stubbornly rebel. Stubbornly rebel. It's coming. How many of you believe judgment is coming? And we say, oh, it's coming to America. Folks, let's narrow it down. It's coming to your house and my house. It's coming to our churches. It's coming to our schools. It's coming to the workplace. Everyone. We all stand naked before God and are judged. Some would say, Brother Lloyd, we don't have to worry about that until the great white throne. Folks, the Bible says judgment begins in the house of the Lord. If we don't preach against sin, we are not setting judgment in the house of God. And we are failing to proclaim the whole counsel of the Word of God. Some would say, tell me how good God is and let us sing and shout and rejoice. God is good. But the same God that is good today is going to be the God of wrath tomorrow. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, there's going to be chastening when men sow to the flesh rather than the spirit. We're seeing it all around us today. A few weeks ago, after my garden had pretty well bit the dust, I went down there and scraped a little bit and tiller tore up. So I just got just scraped it a little bit, and I put out some winter wheat. I went back about a week and a half later, and I got all excited. I saw all these things popping up, and I thought, my goodness gracious, I'm going to have a crop of winter wheat. Never had one before. And y'all know the weather's been very complimentary. I went back the other day after the frost come, and all my winter wheat was gone. And I thought, my goodness, where's my winter wheat, Brother Ron? And what I come to the conclusion yesterday, because I found one, when I chopped it all down and mowed it all up, Brother Lloyd, you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. When I mowed it all up, some of my bean seeds got put back in the soil. And you know what they did? They popped their heads back up. And then when the frost come, it took them all down. And I give you that little illustration. I didn't mean to sow beans. I sowed winter wheat. But our people today are sowing to the flesh. Brother Jeff, what pleases me, that's what I want. I saw it yesterday. I saw it today coming to church. Men and women are more interested in entertainment and pleasure than they are about going to the house of God. It used to be golfing and boating and fishing. Now it's these razors and all these four-wheel drive. You see brand new trucks with trailers on, got three or four of those off-road vehicles on them. And all they're doing is out just riding around. That's enjoyment for them. And there's nothing wrong against that. But when it's church time, it's time to put away the toys and get to the house of God. We play too much. You say, Roger, you're just saying that because you never get to play. I get to play in dirt. I played in dirt yesterday. Brother Emerson, I get to play in grass. I get to cut it. I get all kinds of fun. Cecil and I, every once in a while, we get to work on an old car. Here lately, more than what we want to. But when we sow to the flesh, we are of the flesh going to reap corruption. Am I preaching the truth this Sunday morning? We're sowing to the flesh. I've had some to tell me, Sunday, the Bible says, did you know lost people know the Bible is good or better than most Christians? I've had them tell me, don't the Bible say Sunday is a day of rest? I say, yeah, it is a day of rest. But it's also the day that we ought to be in the house of God, worshiping the Lord. And people say, well, don't you do work on Sunday? Yeah, I do things on Sundays, but after I've been to church, right? Or before I go back when we had Sunday night service. And I heard of a church, a mega church down in Atlanta yesterday, has canceled all in-person services, all remote, because of COVID, the way it's going. You say, what does that mean about sowing to the flesh? It means this today. We can control to a certain point whether COVID affects us or not. This right here don't look like much, but they tell us this will stop the spread of COVID. But yet so many don't wear. I told you about Sister Checky yesterday, and I don't say this to hurt anybody's feeling. She said, you better be wearing your mask, and you tell everybody else they ought to be wearing theirs also. I said, well, when we get close, we're wearing masks. We're protecting ourselves because we don't want to get it. How many of you want to get COVID? End up in ICU, or worse, end up on a ventilator. You don't want it. Let me go on and close. God chasing us when His children need instructions and correction. According to Hebrews, here in 12, verses 5 through 10, and also over in the book of Revelations, we need instruction and correction. How many of you thought along the journey or felt like that you knew it all about God's Word? We all need instruction. There are some things that we ought to turn our head and walk away from. There's instruction that sometimes God has to bring us down to our knees to get our attention. It's almost like with a child. You say, pay attention. I couldn't be a teacher. We ought to be praying for our teachers. I tell you, if I was in charge of this country, our teachers be making a lot more money for the work that they do. And our ball players be making a whole lot less. You say, do you begrudge what they make? I think it's an atrocity that we put the future of our country last in our education system, and we promote sports to a billion and billions and billions of dollars every year. I refuse to go to a ball game. You say, why? But why would I go to a ball game and watch a bunch of overpaid individuals that are trying to tell us what is best for us in our life, and they don't even know God? See, this type of preaching, I said on Wednesday night, I'm thankful that I'm your pastor, because I would starve to death as an evangelist. Because America don't want to hear this word. Christians don't want to hear this word. Don't tell me what I can and cannot do. It's not my word. It's God's word. And I didn't tell you what not to do. Some people have asked me sometimes, is it okay for me to do this or to do that? And I say, you've already answered your question. If you have to ask me, you already know. I'm not going to put my seal of approval on it. Or my second response would be, what does God say about it? Don't ask my opinion. If you want to justify what you're doing and how you're living, all you got to do is ask your neighbor if it's all right. They'll tell you, you're a good person. There's nothing wrong with what you're doing. But yet, if you judge yourself, you'll know it's wrong. Amen? Little things. How many of you ever felt guilty and you really didn't do anything? I'll give you an example as I close. I don't know why it was there, and I felt bad about it. But I had a Mike's Hard Lemon can in the back of my truck. Now, I know I was picking up cans when I was over at Rogers helping with the roof. And I know that his buddy likes to drink. And it was in the back of my truck. And yesterday, as I was unloading some stuff, I saw it. And when I saw it, Brother Jim, I had to get a garbage bag and get the cans out of the back end of my truck, because I felt bad. If somebody saw that in my truck, they would associate me with that. Right? That's why I don't go out with people that like to drink. That's why I don't like to run around people that have reputations for sin in their life. You say, but they're good people, Roger. You have to mark people. And there are some people you're going to have to stay away from. If God chases them, you might just be at the wrong place at the wrong time and receive part of that punishment as well. And I'll give you an example. How many of you ever got in trouble because of what somebody else did? Thank you, Jim, Ron. We didn't do it. But you know what the law calls it? An accessory. And I believe that there have been some innocent people that's been punished or received punishment because of what somebody else did. In fact, no doubt many people in jail today are there because of what somebody else did. And they was just at the wrong place at the wrong time. Be careful who you get in a car with. Be careful who you walk with. Be careful who you socialize with. And be careful whose house you go to and who's in your house. Amen? See, you say, Roger, you want us to pass judgment on everybody. The Bible says if we judge ourselves, we are the only one. I am only accountable for me until I get behind this pulpit. And then we're accountable for all. As a pastor, I'm accountable for all. If I fail to declare the whole counsel of the Word of God, the Bible says, your blood shall be at my hands. You say, Roger didn't tell us it was wrong. You ought to know what the Word of God says. Amen? How many of you believe with all your heart today that God is about to chastise our country? In fact, Brother Lloyd, I say it like this, and I'll get to Sister Tara's testimony from Wednesday night, and I'll close, I promise. We are living in a time that I don't know which will happen first. Is God going to chastise us first, or is he coming in the clouds of glory? And you say, those are totally different, Roger. If he was to come in the clouds of glory, chastisement is set in on all non-believers. Right? So that fulfills his word, does it not? Destruction. And if we truly believe that the Lord could come at any moment, why are we not trying to get our people in before he comes? To Tara's testimony on Wednesday night. Why are we not? You know why? Because we believe he's coming. But we don't believe it'll be today. Or next week. Or next month. Or next year. It might be 100 years from now. But even if it is 100 years from now, how many are going to bear the stripes as a born again child of God? And I'm going to close with this final thought. America is no longer a land of God. No longer. If America was a land that worshiped and served God, we would not see elected officials that believe in abortion, murdering children, even up to the point of birth. We would not see the legitimate legalization of sin as it is taking place in our country today. And you say, what sin has been? Every sin. Look where we're at. And in this past election, there was, I believe, 4 states that legalized marijuana. There was 1 state that legalized and said that they will decriminalize heroin and cocaine. California recently said it's okay for you to have sex with a 14-year-old as long as you're not more than 10 years older than them. You say, does that law make sense to anybody about the 10 years? You know what it's done? It's planted the seed for it to grow. And the age limit will be removed. Amen? Let me find somebody trying to hurt one of my granddaughters. You say, Roger, don't the scripture say you shouldn't hurt them? No bloodshed? How many of you love your children and your grandchildren today? Let me tell you. I'm trying to say this politically correct. I would have to pay the consequences, but if somebody hurt one of my grandchildren, there would be consequences to be paid. Amen. You sound so bad when you're behind that pulpit. Have you met my wife? You think I'm bad, right? I'll sick her on them. Or we'll go together, right, Emerson? But we are legalizing every sin that the Bible speaks against. And then we get down on our knees. I'm sure you get a song, but I'll go on another half hour. Then we get down on our knees and say, God bless us. Lord, help us. Bless our country. We sing the song, God bless America, land of the free, home of the brave. We say, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the, I had to look, make sure I'm on the right side, of the United States of America. And there's only a few of us that still believe that. America is going to hell in a handbasket. And she's going fast. God help us that we would see the urgency to get our people in before it's too late. And if we've done wrong, Lord, help us to get right. You know what I'd say? You know, sometimes we ought to raise our hands and say, how many of you ever did this? All of you kids was about to get a whipping, and you raised your hand and said, can I go first? Nobody did, right? Because you knew if they went first, they had plenty of energy. Let me go last. They'll be wore out. There was five of us kids. Time Dad got to us. But you know, Dad always started at the oldest. God is going to do more to us than what Mom and Dad did. You may not see the physical stripes, but God will bring us to our knees with whatever he can to get our attention and make us cry out for mercy. While we stand and sing a verse of a song, God is going to bring judgment. Chastisement is coming. I don't believe it's long before God sends chastisement upon us. How about it today? Do you need to ask God for forgiveness before chastisement comes? Need to go back and resow some seeds in your life, because the crop that you have will not sustain you. Yes, I must tell Jesus. Yes. Judgment is coming. Only the Lord can help us today. This morning I'm thankful for the Word of God and glad that messages like this brought the fear of God into our lives. Now that word fear in the Bible can mean that you're scared, or that it also can mean utter respect. Before I could respect him, I had fear that I was going to die and go to hell. You know why people don't get saved anymore? They're not afraid of hell. In fact, most of them believe that there is no hell. This life is the only life that there is. Once his life comes to an end, you just die and you go back to the dust, and that's the end of it. But I read a story about a man that said, I am the first fruits of the resurrection, and ye also could be the first fruits if you believe upon me, because the second death is coming to everyone that has rejected God. Today, I know it's not been a shouting message, but it's been a message that we need to get back to. How many of you remember in the old time churches, they didn't preach about praise and glory and honor, and they preached, you know, I heard T.D. Jakes many years ago, Becky and I were listening to a message. He said when the pastors and the preachers got up to preach, they preached hell or heaven. Hell or heaven. He said they preached the same message every service, heaven or hell. Where are you going? You know, we've added a little praise and worship, and we've added titles, and what we've done is we've driven God away, and there is no fear of God anymore. But one day, every eye shall behold Him. Every one of us, as we die, our destiny is sealed for all eternity. All eternity. And then it'll be too late for many of our loved ones. So yes, I'm not proud to say I've been whipped by the Lord, but I'm happy to say that I know I'm His because He has whipped me, Brother Ott. He says a child that is not chastened is not His. In fact, he goes even further, and it's not good language to hear today, but he says, if He does not chasten us, then we are bastards and not sons. What that means is that we are children born out of wedlock. And I have a father and I have a mother. I'm trying to hush. People say, I can't wait until we get to heaven and the wedding ceremony takes place. It's already taken place. I'm not an illegitimate child. I am a son of God. And the church is my grand old mother. And sometimes, if daddy don't get you, mama will. Amen? Have you enjoyed being in the house of the Lord? You say, oh, after preaching like that, you want us to say yes? I'm just glad we got a church that will receive preaching like that. Amen? Have a great day. Come out and be with us on Wednesday night. Remember, Mark's mother in hospice don't look good at all. Sister Bonnie with the cancer. Sister Ruby with the broken vertebrae. I mean, we got so much. Elise, I didn't mention, and I say her name wrong, didn't I? Elisa, remember her. And all of these today. Brother Lloyd with his cracked rib. And he ought to take this week off. Don't do anything. Martha, I'm going to give him a note. No work for 1 week. All right. God bless you. Have a great day, great week, and come out Wednesday night in our service.